Paula Mahoney.
Hello, is that Trevor Winkworth?
Alive and well in Shanghai.
So the CEO of InHand Guides is a globetrotter.
Well, a Chinese trotter.
Right. Well, look, tell me, what time of the day is it in Shanghai right now? It's just after 9 o'clock in Ireland.
We're 4 o'clock, 7 hours ahead of you.
Great.
In a city of 24 million people. Get your head around that.
Well, I can't really. How far is it from one side of the city to the other?
It's a long way, I can tell you. I came in by train and then got the metro, so it seems to be about an hour across.
Wow. Look, tell me, you're over there for a purpose, and I hear that you've actually been meeting Tourism Ireland.
Yeah, I have a phone ringing. I'm just turning it off.
Okay.
I'm just turning off my mobile phone.
Okay.
Everybody's looking for me today. I was in Shenzhen last week with our manufacturer. And then on Sunday, I moved to Guangzhou. There was a Tourism Ireland trade mission, which was visiting four cities. And I joined them for two cities, for Guangzhou and Shanghai.
And Trevor, just tell me, how far is Guangzhou from Shenzhen?
It's actually only down the road. It's like Dublin to Cork. And you do it on a high-speed train, which, imagine going from Dublin to Cork in 35 minutes.
Wow.
308 kilometers per hour.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Yeah, so you get to Cork in under 40 minutes.
God, that's really something. And tell...
Guangzhou is a city of 9 million people.
Right. And tell me more about what you were doing there.
So Tourism Ireland have a networking event in each of these cities where they've invited and they present Ireland as a tourism destination to 80 tour operators. And then you have 20 one-on-one meetings at a second event. What they're doing, obviously, is promoting Ireland and looking for outbound tourists to come to Ireland. I'll give you some figures in a minute about Chinese tourism. What I was doing was looking and researching for a plan we have, which is to launch our souvenir products into China to Chinese tour operators as destination guides in Mandarin, because most Chinese travelers don't speak English, and we have obviously a souvenir audio player. And it strikes me that by putting a low-cost unit in their hands, when they arrive in a city, they have the overall concept is cities in 20 minutes. So
wow.
Dublin in 20 minutes, which I was promoting to them. We'll also do London and Manhattan, and then we'll broaden the range, because I was asked about a lot of they were looking at for Rome, Paris, Singapore.
And these are all Chinese tour operators, 20 Chinese tour operators that you met.
Chinese tour operators, I'll give you the figures. The number of Chinese going outbound from China on holidays is now at 112 million people, and it's growing at 14%. That's the population of France and the UK going on holidays every year, every one of them.
Good. And growing at 14% a year?
Yeah, 14. Yeah, as they have money, the middle classes are heading on vacation.
And Trevor, what are the chances of many of these people being interested in a tour guide in Mandarin?
Well, they don't speak English.
Right.
So we had a great reception to the idea. Obviously, it's one thing having a good idea. We now have to try and build the business around it. But I brought out literature design in Mandarin to present to them. I brought out product to present to them. So I spoke to 45 tour operators, and they all thought it was a great idea. And more importantly, our pricing was perfect. They said, hey, it's the pricing's ideal, it's low cost. What we have to do now is work out a business model where we can manufacture in Shenzhen and distribute to these big tour operators around the world, or sorry, around China.
So would you distribute in-hand guides to the operators in China before they left to come to Europe?
Exactly. The plan, the current business model would be to get it into their hands for their people before they leave, because then it'll get them excited about where they're going and what they're doing.
Well, that'll also benefit in-hand guides because you won't have shipping costs from China to Europe.
Exactly. Exactly. So and we're working on a business model for that. What I needed to do was, you know, it's much easier to get, in this case, it was a perfect way of getting out to promote our product in Ireland, because actually the tour operators were also interested in knowing if we have product in Mandarin in Ireland, they will promote it as they leave as well. So I'm hoping the Book of Kells are looking at putting our product into Mandarin, and I in turn could promote that back in China, and people would know that the turn up at the Book of Kells, hey, they've got Mandarin, we'll definitely go and see that venue.
And Trevor, this sounds incredibly positive. Can you tell me one thing? I've been to a number of these kind of speed dating networking events in Ireland. What was it like to do speed dating with Chinese tour operators?
Well, you have a translator, which helps.
Right.
So I have a translator in each venue, and they would... It was set out like in a large room, and there was about 20 of us, and then there's about 25 operators moving around one to one, you know. Very well organized. They had 10 minutes exactly, and after 10 minutes they were told to move table.
And this is all organized by Tourism Ireland representatives out in China?
We have a very nice girl, Della, here, and then Niall Gibbons, CEO of Tourism Ireland, was at the event, and you also had representatives of the Department of Foreign Affairs.
And would these be things that Tourism Ireland and the Department of Foreign Affairs would do on a regular basis, or was this
a
special?
They're doing one annually to move China along as a tourism destination. Where Ireland will benefit is the visas now for Chinese visitors coming to the UK, their visa will include Ireland automatically. Because previously they had a lot of problems with visas to get into Ireland.
Oh, that's a big step forward. I've heard about those difficulties. Yeah, that's very important.
Ireland has a high profile. The tourism numbers for Ireland are small. They have 38,000 visitors coming. So 38,000... there's a long way to go, but it's a start. There's 4.5 million Chinese visiting Europe now. And the UK and London is the top destination.
And isn't it true, I think you've told me this before, that the average Chinese person who comes on holidays is likely to buy quite a lot of high-end products?
High-end. So part of what we do with our little, you know, our plan, with our business plan, the destination guide will be geared towards the Chinese tourist, which is, you know, shopping and just the key. They just want the key destinations. In other words, we will say, here's the top five things to do, and then here's the shopping, culture, and dining side. So it'll be a tailored product to give them an overview of what they're going to get when they visit a city.
And the product, Trevor, is very small and would kind of fit in your bag or in your pocket very easily, wouldn't it?
Yeah, bring it with you and you can have it on the plane, you can read it, listen to it on the bus, you can listen to it when you're in the city. So, as I said, it was a first foray in an idea, because if we don't get into China, you know, China's where the growing market is, so if we don't get in there, you can't ignore it. So I want to be in the Chinese market.
And tell me, what do you think?
If there's 112 million people going on holidays, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it does sound like it. And growing at 14% sounds pretty pretty impressive to me.
Soon at 200 million people going on holidays annually.
And tell me a bit about China then, Trevor. Let me just ask you.
From Guangzhou, I took the fast train to Shenzhen. Sorry, to Shanghai. I'm getting confused. Now, that is traveling, that's 1,500 kilometers in just over 6 hours. That's the same as going from Belfast to Cork, back to Belfast, and back to Cork again. By train in 6 hours.
Wow. Wow. And are these trains full, Trevor? Are they, yes?
They were very busy. Yeah, I was a snob. I had a first class ticket, which you really need. It doesn't cost much more than standard class, but these trains, each train I took was full. And when I was booking it in Shenzhen, you know, for example, Shenzhen to Guangzhou, there was a train every 30 minutes. And a lot of them were full.
Wow.
And then Guangzhou to Shanghai, there was a train, I think it was every hour and a half. And they're busy, but they're beautiful high-speed trains, beautiful network. And the train stations look like airports. You're talking of 32 tracks in a train station. It's beyond anything we can think about.
I know, you sent me...
Everything is brand new.
You sent me a photograph of it, and the train station looked like an airport.
It's like an airport. And interesting, they have restaurants in them. They don't have bars like in Ireland. We seem to like to have a bar in a train station. They don't do that here. They have restaurants, but you have things like jewellery shops in the train stations, upmarket jewellery shops, which I thought was good.
And tell me, Trevor, when people are on a train in China, is it all very quiet, or do people talk to each other?
Yeah, they're all there with each other. It's like, honestly, it's normal. They're chatting away, and I went up to the buffet car. They do just like Irish Rail. They come down with a buffet, except it's all Chinese meals. But they do have Häagen-Dazs ice cream, so they spend their money. And the staff are very well turned out. They look like they're on an airline. And interesting, all the staff are mic'd up. They're all carrying personal receivers and chatting to each other.
Oh, right.
So it's a very efficient system.
And is there Wi-Fi on the train, Trevor?
No, there wasn't on my one, which I found odd. So I have to look into that.
But
that was the one. That's the only fault I found, is that there was no Wi-Fi.
And in the hotel,
I may not have been able to get it because I have interesting Google in Guangzhou. Google is completely blocked.
So I use
Google Apps with our domain, so I could not use my business email in Guangzhou. But here in Shanghai, we're perfect, and we're chatting on a very good Skype line.
Right, and is everybody walking around with Apple products?
Oh, it's very, everybody, I was on the metro last night. I went down to the famous Bund, which is the classical view of Shanghai with all the modern skyscrapers. And everybody on the metro has their little mobile phones. Everybody's very, Shanghai is trendier, more cosmopolitan now than Shenzhen or Guangzhou. So lots of trendy restaurants, trendy shops. Quite surprising how metropolitan it is. You could be, if you change the people, you could be in downtown Manhattan. You could have been on Madison Avenue.
And tell me, how much longer are you going to stay there then, Trevor?
I'm leaving in the morning, back to Hong Kong for meetings and back to Ireland on Sunday.
And does what you've told me about needing to get the business model right for China and everything, does that mean that you anticipate going back to China in the foreseeable future?
I'm out here every 4 or 5 months because we're close to the final development phase of our wireless new technology, which will be the souvenir player that works without controls or triggers. And I've also signed off on a low-cost unit for promotion and health, which we'll retail for $3 worldwide. For $3, we'll have a 20-minute quick-use player.
And Trevor, what topic will be on the player then?
Well, the low-cost unit is for promotional, so sports promotional, health and advocacy, lifestyle.
Right.
So it's a volume product. We'll only manufacture 10, 20,000 units at a time. But, you know, for $3, somebody could have a 20-minute pitch to explain anti-smoking, diabetes. So we were looking for a lower-cost unit to meet advocacy, health style, lifestyle, and also, say, sports promotion, you know, for a football stadium.
Right.
So we have it now. We'll be $3 or under, which is, you know, pretty insignificant as a cost. And we'll make money on it.
Now that sounds very good.
Additionally, quality, you know, well-produced products. We're guaranteeing our QC, which we work hard on.
And
we'll end up with a sort of three-tier price range. The low-cost unit, the current standard souvenir player, and then the slightly higher priced wireless self-triggering one.
Well, that'll definitely be, we must put some more information about that on the new website.
We will, yeah, we will talk about that again, because we're not quite there yet, but we'll add all that in. The wireless is planned to launch in Q4. The low-cost one will launch hopefully in August.
Oh, great. Oh, great. And tell me, are there any other, just before we finish, are there any other business developments you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, back home in Ireland, we're very delighted to have launched into St. Patrick's Cathedral, which has launched. We will launch into Blarney Castle, a really great product researched and written by Conor Tallon in July. And we've also launched into Dalkey, the Dalkey Museum in Ireland, which actually is a very interesting story, because Dalkey Island has been used for trading purposes for hundreds of years. Everybody thinks it's just a little bit of rock sitting off Dalkey. It's not.
Well, I certainly didn't know that. By the way, the Dalkey Literature Festival is on this week.
The product won't be there for about 2 weeks. That's a pity. But actually, I know what I'll do, Paul. I have a sample. I'll give you one, and you can learn all about it and go up and impress them on your history of Dalkey Island.
That would be good. That would be good.
I'm bringing back samples. I've signed off samples last week, and I'm bringing them back.
Okay, great.
That's very interesting. You would never have known there was. The history of Dalkey Island is very, very interesting, as I said.
I didn't even know there was a Dalkey Island, to be honest, I have to say. Didn't have any idea about it. But look, tell me one last thing, Trevor. What about food? What are you going to eat, before you leave China?
I was very disappointed last night. I was on a Chinese restaurant on the river, on the corner, the Bund, and I was going to, after 3 years of hope, trying and saying, I won't, I ordered sautéed sea cucumber. Because I wasn't brave enough until yet last night. And what happened? They were out of stock.
What on earth is sautéed sea cucumber? What is it?
Sea cucumber, which they chop up. And it doesn't look very appetizing when you see a whole sea cucumber. Looks like a long snail on a plate, but this was chopped up and sauteed. So I thought, let's go for it. And they didn't have it.
Oh, God.
So I had to stick to the normal, I normally eat Chinese when I'm here.
Yeah. And were you able to get a pint of Guinness by any chance? Or?
I don't know. I stick to Qingdao, which is the local beer. I give them the business. It's a light lager, something like Budweiser.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Well, they were promoting Guinness at the seminar yesterday. You can get Guinness here.
Ah, right. Well, look.
I have Guinness at the seminar for the locals to let them have a little bit of a tipple before they came. Networking, probably a very cunning Irish trick, you know.
Trevor, I have to let you go.
Great talking to you.
Thanks a million.
Bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.